trees and snapping off the leaves, which would smash when they hit the frozen ground, and the birds dropping lifeless from the sky. Shadow swept over him. He looked up through eyes misted with tears at a grey and empty horizon, his mouth dropping open in horror. He stood up, flinging aside the blanket, and raised both hands in supplication. But the sun had gone. He was the god. This was his job. It was the only thing he was here to do, and he had failed the people. Now he could hear in his mind's ear the anger of the crowd, a booming roar that began to fill his ears until the rhythm became insistent and familiar, until it reached the point where it pressed in no longer but drew him out, into that salty blue desert where the sun always shone and sleek shapes wheeled across the sky. The pharaoh raised himself on his toes, threw back his head, spread his wings, and leapt. As he soared into the sky, he was surprised to hear a thump behind him, and the sun came out from behind the clouds. Later on, the pharaoh felt awfully embarrassed about it. The three new assassins staggered slowly along the street, constantly on the point of falling over, but never quite reaching it, trying to sing "A Wizard's Staff Has a Knob on the End" in harmony, or at least in the same key. "'Tis big and it's round and it weighs three to the..." sang Chidder. "Ugh, blast, what have I stepped in?"
"Anyone know where we are?" said Arthur.
We were headed for the guild house," said Tepic. "Only must have took the wrong way. That's the river up ahead, they can smell it."
Caution penetrated Arthur's armour of alcohol.
"Could be dangerous people around this time of night," he hazarded.
"Yeah," said Chidder with satisfaction. "Us. Got ticket to prove it. Got a test and everything. Like to see anyone try anything with us."
"Right," agreed Tepic, leaning against him for support of a sort. "We'll slit them from what's-name to thingy."
"Right."
They lurched uncertainly out onto the brass bridge. In fact, there were dangerous people around in the pre-dawn shadows, and currently these were some 20 paces behind them. The complex system of criminal guilds had not actually made Ankh-Morpork a safer place. It just rationalised its dangers and put them on a regular and reliable footing. The major guilds policed the city with more thoroughness and certainly more success than the old watch had ever managed, and it was true that any freelance and unlicensed thief caught by the Thieves' Guild would soon find himself remanded in custody for social inquiry reports, plus having his knees nailed together. When the Thieves' Guild declared a general strike in the year of the Engaging Sloth, the actual level of crime doubled. However, there were always a few spirits who would venture a precarious living outside the lawless, and five men of this description were closing cautiously on the trio to introduce them to this week's special offer, a cutthroat, plus theft and burial in the river mud of your choice. People normally keep out of the way of assassins because of an instinctive feeling that killing people for very large sums of money is disapproved of by the gods, who generally prefer people to be killed for very small sums of money or for free, and could result in hubris, which is the judgment of the gods. The gods are great believers in justice, at least as far as it extends to humans, and have been known to dispense it so enthusiastically that people miles away are turned into a cruet. However, Assassin's Black doesn't frighten everyone, and in certain sections of society there is a distinct cachet in killing an assassin. It's rather like smashing a sixer in Conkers. Broadly, therefore, the three, even now lurching across the deserted planks of the brass bridge, were dead-drunk assassins, and the men behind them were bent on inserting the significant comma. Chidder wandered into one of the heraldic wooden hippopotami that lined the seaward edge of the bridge, bounced off, and flopped over the parapet. One of the two legends about the founding of Ankh-Morpork relates that the two orphaned brothers who built the city were in fact found and suckled by a hippopotamus. Literally, Oregeple, although some historians hold that this is a mistranslation of Oregeple, a type of glass-fronted drinks cabinet. Eight heraldic hippos lined the bridge facing out to sea. It is said that if danger ever threatens the city, they will run away. The other legend, not normally recounted by citizens, is that at an even earlier time, a group of wise men survived a flood sent by the gods by building a huge boat. and on this boat they took two of every type of animal then existing on the disc, and after some weeks the